Because he is an awesome God. Amen? And as we celebrate this month of our Savior's birth, we're excited about the things that the Lord is doing. Jalen that came and read the scriptures, or had the prayer rather, she is one of our candidates for baptism. So we're working on now establishing a baptism date along with Jovell Wilson. So we're working on establishing that. And the Lord is still working through his church. Amen?
Amen.
So again, we are grateful for all that God is doing. And thank you again, Brother Kraft and family, for presenting that today. It's like a shock. But we thank God for that. And we do thank Sean and the youth for this morning, as well as the dedication of our youth. Sean sends out a scripture and an encouragement every Monday morning on a text, and certainly that means a lot to our young people. So keep them in your prayers. Pray also for Miss Corrine Anderson. She is in the hospital and asking for your prayers, that you would pray for her. We have some of our members also that are struggling with COVID, either being exposed or having it. So we ask that you would pray for our members that are impacted by the pandemic. We have several thank yous. One comes from Sister Naomi Johnson. She says, thank you for the gift on Seniors Day, and thank you for doing what you do and for being the kind and caring people that you are. And then we have a thank you that comes from Tina Ross. Tina, Jalen, and Jamie Ross, your thoughtfulness was very much appreciated. Thank you, Crossroad Baptist Church. And then finally, we have a thank you that comes from Francis Chambers. And they express how blessed they are and grateful are the receivers. Thank you so much. I am truly blessed to have a church and pastor who thinks about its members. Thank you for so much for my gift card. So that's from, again, Francis Chambers. Amen? Amen. Now, we did have a good session last week with our Zoom. We still got some technical things to work out. But we encourage you that if you want to be in the church school or the Bible study on Wednesday night, we had about a total of 25, 26 that attended, and very good. We split up into our different rooms for study, and everybody seems to enjoy that. And we still got some things, again, that we're working out, but pray for that. If you want to be included, send an email to pastor@crossroadbc.com. And then we can include you in the class. I want to thank Eddie Preston for all the work that he does in our electronic area. That's above my head. And I don't know how it works, but we try to do what we can to be a blessing. So we're having a good time on Zoom as we share the Word of God. Amen. Now, last thing before I get into the message, we will be having a short business meeting right after this service. It won't take us about 5, maybe 10 minutes. We need to approve our 2021 annual budget. So we want to share some information with regards to that, and then we'll ask for a motion to approve our budget for the year. As you know, we try to represent and share with you what's going on here at the church. You all have been faithful. You've been faithful in these pandemic months, and I'm so grateful to be part of a church that believes in the Word of God. Amen? So we'll share more about that at the close of this service. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 2. And verse number 3. Soon and very soon, we won't have to wear masks. Soon and very soon, we won't have to wear face shields, because the Lord is going to work things out. Amen?
Amen?
Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 3. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We'll have other verses to share with you as we work our way through the scripture, but I want to speak on the subject today, the light of the soul. The light of the soul. You may be seated. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing and encouragement of being in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for even the highlights of the Sunday school that Reverend Gibbons gave us, knowing that the Word of God is our life, it's our blood, it's what we breathe in spiritually, that we might receive strength and grace from you. I pray now that you'd bless us in our time of sharing your word, that all that we do would bring honor and glory to your holy name, for you are worthy of all the praise. We pray this prayer. May bless our time now. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. The light of the soul. You know, we have come to the place where now everything that we do depends upon having light or adequate vision. It depends upon our ability to see and share with others. You can do very little in the dark except make mistakes. Jesus, of course, reminds us about the spiritual darkness, times where men will be in spiritual darkness. And as we work our way through this message today, I want us to think about the light of our soul. Anyone that dwells in the light, he dwells in God. That's what the Bible says. If you do not dwell in God, you don't have light. And anyone that has light is able to share that with his brother and to love his brother as we are commanded in the scripture. As we look at the example of light seekers from the Word of God, as we look at these wise men who travel a distance to find their way to God, we have to ask ourselves, what am I doing about finding the light within my own heart? What am I doing about finding the light in my own soul? Have I found it? And if I found it, what has happened in response to this tremendous light? What's going on in my heart as I have approached this light, and this light now is working in me to transform me? What's going on in my life to show that I've been exposed to this true light? What wonder it was for these wise men to leave their homeland in a far country to seek a foreign king. What light could it be that would beckon them from the wealth that they had to abandon all of their comforts and take a long journey to find the true light? What is it about this holy child that drew them, knowing that there was a sign that God has given them? And may I suggest to you that God has given every one of us a sign that we can follow the true light. As we look at this today, we have to look within and ask ourselves, do I have a light in my soul, or am I living in darkness? I can't answer that question for you. You have to answer that for yourself. The Bible does tell us that Jesus is the true light that lights every person that comes into the world. St. John chapter 1 and verse 9. So as we work our way and as we look at this message today, ask yourself, how is the light working in my life? What is it doing? How am I responding to it? In 1948, Hank Williams Sr. wrote probably one of the greatest love Southern gospel songs that have ever been written. You've probably heard it many times. I saw the light. He also wrote Your Cheating Heart. Just a little bad word there. But he would close out his shows by singing a gospel song. And this was the one that was most favorite of many people. Hear the words of the song. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I would not let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a thief in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Now it's sad that Hank Williams Sr. died at the age of 29 of an apparent drug overdose. His death was subject to speculation. But the greater question is, what happened to the light? What happened to the light that he wrote about? Was it something that reflected in his life?
I'll share more of him in just a few minutes. But this message is going to look at three aspects, three truths, three principles of what the light means to us. Principle number one, we must open our eyes to see the light. You must open your eyes to see the light. If you don't open your eyes, all the light in the world cannot help you. If your eyes are closed, if you've blocked out what God is doing, what I call the aha moment, when you discover something of greatness about God, everybody ought to discover that God is good. Everybody ought to know that the Lord is gracious, that the Lord is kind and merciful, that aha moment. But second principle, the second light principle is that the light leads to a new life. The light will lead you in a new direction. If you notice from the wise men, they traveled because they had the light. Are you traveling? Are you on a spiritual journey? We used to sing that old song, I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. And they weren't talking about taking up arms. They were talking about fighting for righteousness, believing in God and trusting in God. Where's the light leading you? Is it leading you in a path of righteousness for his name's sake, or are you just abiding in darkness? When Jesus was born, it fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that said, those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. The third principle, not only must we open our eyes to the light of God, and not only will this light lead us in a new direction, but this light also will bring about a lasting change. When you have been exposed to the light, it's just like film that is exposed to the light. It has a substance in the film that's in that camera that as soon as the shutters are open, as soon as it opens the shutters of that camera, the image of what that light does, it posted now onto that film. Your life is so designed that when God shines a light upon you, the image of God is reflected. The image of God now impacts your life. The reason for your being in this world is not just to get a blessing from God, but to be changed by God. Yes, we get many blessings from God. They're numerous. There are too many to tell about. But your purpose for being here is for God to shine the light upon you and his image comes alive in you. Praise the Lord goes right there. Because God is doing this great work. So our prayer is, Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes that we might see. When these wise men showed up, as the scripture tells us, they came to Jerusalem. You know, because they wanted to find where this king was. They wanted to know, where is the one that is born king of the Jews? You might ask yourself, how did they know he was a king? How did they know that this was the Messiah and the Savior of the world? How did they know that? Well, if you do some digging into the scripture, which we do on Wednesday nights, we look into the scripture and we try to find out why was this written and what does it do to impact our life. So they came to Jerusalem from the east. We know where they came from and we know who they were. They were magi or wise men, counselors to some ruler, and now they show up at Jerusalem asking this question, hey, where's this king? Now, what better way to find a king than to ask a king? But guess what? When they asked this earthly king, he didn't have the answer because the answer was not from men. The answer was from heaven. The answer was from glory. And if you had not been looking unto him, you could not find a divine answer. Let me interject something right here. There are a lot of us trying to solve our spiritual problems in the darkness, and we're asking other folk in the dark. They're just as blind. They don't know the things of God. But when you fall upon your knees, when you begin to ask God to show you the light, God reveals the truth unto you. My prayer is that all of us would have the truth revealed in our hearts and lives. If you go back and look at the scripture, there was another man who was taken captive from Israel, from Judah, into a place called Babylon. That's the east. That's the east. And this young man's name was Daniel. And Daniel, we read his book in the Bible. It's one of the prophets of the Bible. We read his book and we find out that Daniel, not only was he a man that was taken captive into the east country or Babylon, he was a wise man. He was a wise man. As a matter of fact, the king had chosen certain of the children of Israel to become counselors and advisors, those that understood mysteries, and Daniel was one of them. Not only was he one of them, Daniel got promoted among them to where he became the chief. Now, the chief means you're the head boss. That means that you got other people that are under you. And guess what Daniel did? He told them about a Messiah that was going to come. And he shared with them. Now, all of your learning, I want you to understand this. Daniel saw these visions from God. He saw this Savior. He saw this Messiah come. And Daniel tried to describe him as a stone hewn out of the mountain. And he saw him as he came in the clouds of heaven. And Daniel told them one other thing. Watch for him. Watch for him. Let me interject this another thing to you right now. If you want to see the light of God, you got to watch for it. You got to watch for it. God may not show you in a dramatic way the way that he showed these wise men, but God will give you what we call an aha moment, where you say, wait a minute, that's God. One of these days, you're going to wake up and you're going to find out that all of these years, you thought you've been doing it on your own, and that was God. One of these days, you're going to stop saying to yourself, I just had good luck. You didn't have good luck. You had good God. One of these days, you're going to wake up and realize that all of the journey that you've traveled through life, that the Lord is the one that kept you. That aha moment in your life. Everybody needs that. Everybody needs to know that God wants to show his truth to us. The Bible tells us about others that had that aha moment. Not only the wise man that saw the star, but also Simeon. We're told that the Spirit said to him, Simeon, you will not die until you see the Lord's Christ. You're going to hold him in your arms. And Simeon did not die until that day that the Lord brought him into the temple and he saw Joseph and Mary bringing the young child Jesus. And he said, now I can go. Now I can leave. I've seen the Lord. I've had my aha moment. Anna was a widow, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2. She was a widow, and she waited for the consolation of Israel. She waited for the Savior to come. And when she saw him, she said, aha, let me go tell somebody. Let me share with them this wonderful Savior that is born. The wise men were asking, and this was probably sometime later, probably a year or two after Jesus had been born, but they said, you know what? I'm going to find him anyway. I'm going to keep seeking for him. They didn't find him in a manger. They found him in a house living in Galilee. Are y'all still here? I know we try to make the picture of wise men coming to the manger. They didn't come to the manger because he wasn't there. He was growing now. Amen? So they came to the house in Galilee where Jesus was, and there they found him, and there they worshiped him. That aha moment. When God begins to show you and you open your eyes, I want to suggest to you, those that are listening online in the parking lot or wherever you hear this message, open your eyes. The Bible tells us, open our eyes, Lord, that we might see and behold the wondrous things out of your word. Kyle Idleman writes a book called Aha, Awakening Honest Action. Awakening Honest Action, Aha. He tells a story about a man named Fred Craddock. And in the life of Fred Craddock, he was not a man that sought God. Now his son, on the other hand, Fred Craddock Jr., was a well-known preacher. Loved the Lord, preached the word, but his father, Fred Craddock Sr., didn't want to have anything to do with the church. He said, all those church folk are, they just want somebody on the membership roll or somebody to give some money. I don't have anything to do with those church folk. You ever heard folks say that? Have you ever said that? No. In the Bible, or the story goes on to say in his book by Kyle Eidelman, and he writes that this Craddock Sr. fell ill. He got sick, got to the point where he was not able to eat or to swallow, and just having tremendous problems with his health. In other words, he was dying. And his son visited him in the Tennessee Veterans Hospital. He visited him. And little did the son know that the same church that Craddock Sr. had talked bad about, folks had brought him meals when he could eat. They took care of the family. They would bring over cards and they would try to comfort and try to help them any way they could. Here's what he said to his son on his dying bed. His son was sitting there, and though he could not speak, he asked the son for a pen. He said, "Let me write down something here." And what he wrote on that piece of paper was these words: "I was wrong. I was wrong." Sometimes your aha moment comes with the admission that you're wrong. The Bible tells us, "Let God be true, and every man a liar, that you may be justified." Don't come to God saying you got everything and you all that and the bag of chips. Simply admit to God that you need to see the light. You need to behold the wondrous glory of who God is. That's what Christmas is all about. Seeing God, looking at Him, taking time out of this crazy world. People say Christmas is not going to be the same in 2020. Doesn't have to be the same. You know why? Because if you let the light come on, it'll be a Christmas you've never seen before. God can do wondrous things. We just have to simply believe in Him and trust in Him. What would define your aha moment? What would define your seeing God? Yes, these wise men had been trained by Daniel. They were going on the words that God had given him. And now they were coming to this strange land looking for a king that was born King of the Jews. Here's another point I want to make to you in our second principle. The light must place you on a journey. The light must give you direction. You don't just see the light and just sit there. Now, they could have had things good. I thought about it. When they saw the light and they knew all about the light, they could have sat back and they could have written books about it, got the Pulitzer Prize of their day, and just won many awards for saying, "I saw the light." Kind of like Hank Williams Sr., "I saw the light." Just write the song. Don't worry about letting the light impact you. Let me tell you something right here. God never shows you anything that doesn't change you. When God shows you something, it will change you. Can I go back and talk what my grandma said? She said, "It will pick you up. It will turn you around. It will place your feet on solid ground." The solid ground for these wise men was, "Let me take my journey." Now, I get it. These men are wealthy. They've got a lot of money. Anytime you go that far and you ain't got to ask for no help, you got to have some money on your hand. Not only did they come with the money, they came to give the money. I'm talking about giving Jesus some good stuff. They gave him some gold and some incense and some myrrh. Amen. I never had the myrrh, but it must have been worth something. They brought these gifts because they didn't come to manipulate God. They came to worship God. Amen. You don't serve God. You don't see the light so that the Lord can just bless you with things. He's already blessed you with things. You serve the Lord so that He can direct your path. You know what the Bible says? The steps of a good person are ordered by God. How did you get on the journey that you had? And some of you are saying to yourself, "I don't have a whole lot to show for it, but guess what? I'm still alive." And if you're still alive, you're subject to and you can be brought under God's direction, and the Lord will order your steps. All the way from their homeland in the east, all the way to Jerusalem. But then I believe God wanted to test them. He said, "Now, let me just see what they're going to do about the light." So rather than them continuing with the light, you know what they did? They went over to Herod's house and they said, "Hey, where's the king of the Jews? All Herod knew was what the people told him. Well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He's going to be born over here. They didn't know all of the prophecy. And you know, the Bible said that they gave the wise men no help, because other people cannot solve a God problem for you. All right? And write that down. That's part of this. Amen. That's not part of the notes, but it is part of the application. Other people, when you've got a God problem, you need to be directed by God. You need the Lord to show you which way to go. As we look at the life of these wise men and responding to the light, we also learn from studying the history of Hank Williams Sr. that a few days before he died, he woke up and could not sleep. His wife asked him, what's going on? Why? What's wrong with you? And he responded, I just had a dream that God was coming down the road to meet me. Neighbor, let me tell you something. Whether you meet him now or meet him later, you're going to meet him. Amen. You're going to meet him. Amen. I'd much rather go out to meet him than to have him to come to me by surprise. If you see the light, go to it. Follow that light. Let it direct your path, and let it lead you in the path of righteousness. On the evening of January the 1st, which was New Year's Day, Williams was supposed to do a show in Tennessee or somewhere where he was traveling. He was supposed to do a show, and he had been prescribed some medication by a doctor that wasn't official. You know, you get bootleg stuff, right? And this would help in the pain, not knowing how much to take or whether or not what you were prescribed was right. He took it, and he rode for some hours with his driver, not knowing that Hank Williams Sr. was dead at the age of 29. Writing about, I saw the light. Filling the hearts of many people like me who heard the song, I saw the light. But never really following the light. Isn't that something? You don't want your life to end that way. See the light, but go to the light. Here's what the Bible says. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As many people as responded to the Savior, God gave them not only the authority, but amen, the ability to be a child of God. I could not stand here and tell you that I'm a child of God if I didn't have the light of God in me. It takes the light of God to come into your heart and transform you. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. And seeing that light, God changed me. Well, what a wonderful thing it is to know that God is our Savior, that He's our Lord, that He's our God, and that because of that, our eyes have been opened and we follow the light in our lives. But then as we bring home the point, the light brings about a lasting change. How many of you all have had something good to happen and it changed you for a little while? You got a little money and it made you a fool for a little while until the money ran out, or something else that came into your life and it changed you for a little while. Maybe you met somebody. You met them and they impacted your life for a little while, because those aha moments that are brought about by circumstances or by other things that happen in life, it can only impact you for just a tiny speck of time. But I am talking about the light of God that changes you for eternity. Once you have been exposed to God's light, you couldn't unexpose it. Going back to our camera image, y'all remember we used to have those old Polaroids. All right, you'd buy the pack of film. You'd put it in that old thing, and I tell you what, you go out and you tell somebody, okay, stand still, say cheese, and then they say cheese, and you'd take your old Polaroid, because the film would come out of the end of it. It'd just come on out there. And so you get that and say, wait a minute. You shake it a while, and then you peel it back. And what it had done, it had taken a picture of the image of what it was aimed at. God is aiming the Holy Spirit's camera on your life. But rather than taking exposure of you, God is saying through the Holy Spirit, I'm going to take a picture of my son and I'm going to transpose it onto you. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we shall know that when he appears, we shall be like him. I'm going to look like Jesus. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. I thank God for this change that's brought about by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's what it says about the wise men. All right, Herod had told them, now, you bring me word back. Once you find him, bring me word back that I can come and I can worship him. I want to worship him also. They knew that wasn't his motive. They knew that he had it in for Christ because Herod was jealous. He was envious. He was one of those dictators. He didn't want anybody imposing on his territory. What, king of the Jews? I'm the king. That's what he said. So he said, bring the word back when you find him. Now you read the scripture how they found him. They came in and the light, when they came out of Herod's presence, the light that they had seen over in the east, that light continued to guide them. Notice they didn't worship the light. They knew that the light meant something, but the light wasn't God. Don't confuse the blessing of God as God. Amen? Don't confuse the mighty thing. Even if he sends you an angel, don't bow down to the angel. As a matter of fact, in Revelation, John said, I was writing about it. Somebody told me this, and I bowed down. He said, no, don't worship me. Worship God. Don't worship the things of this world. So what if you got a good car? Don't worship that car. So what if you got kids? Don't worship your kids. You know how they can change on you overnight. Don't worship people. Worship God. They saw the light, they followed the light, and they rejoiced. But when they saw Jesus, they worshiped. They worshiped. Here's what happened. We say three wise men, but it was actually a whole group of people. They brought three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Precious, precious things, all that they could give. But Jesus gave them back something. They saw in Christ, in that little baby, the hope of the world. They saw in Christ a future. They saw in Christ everything that they'd searched for. And you know what the Bible says? They went back home, not by way of Herod's house, but they went back another way. Can I tell you that when you see the light, you're going to go home a different way? Some of you can be sitting in church, but you're going to leave a different way. You might come in, amen, with your head bowed low, but you will leave a different way, because anytime you see the light, you go in a different direction. You are a new creature. But here's the point I want to close with. Not only did they see the light, but the light got on the inside of them. And when the light gets on the inside, it's just like burning in your soul. It's just like fire shut up in your bone. They left the presence of God, of the holy Jesus. They left so filled with joy. They said, you know what? We're satisfied. I'm satisfied. I got everything I need. All that I need is in Jesus. All that I need. So he said, preacher, why are we going to see this light? We don't have the magi, the wise men coming from the east. Where are we going to see this light you're talking about? Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, and I believe verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set up on a hill cannot be hid. Now, a city that sat on the hill. Y'all know I grew up in the country, right? Fred, y'all know I grew up in the country, right? Girl, you know that, right? Grew up in the country. And I remember the first time that my grandma took me to Washington, D.C. We got on that old Greyhound bus, Brother Bolden. We traveled for hours because that bus stopped everywhere. But when we came to D.C., you could see a glow. It was dark, but there was a glow about that city. And me being from the country, my goodness, I ain't never seen lights like that in all my life. Because that was a city set on a hill. Jesus said, I'm not talking about an earthly city. I'm talking about your soul. If you allow me to come into your life, I'll make your light brighter than that city. I'll give you a light that will shine so that men can see your life from a distance. You are the light of the world. How do you know that people have seen Jesus? They get lit up. I know some folk got lit up last night. I'm not talking about the ABC store lit up. I'm talking about lit up by God. When you get lit up by God, the Holy Spirit, that light never goes out. And you never have a hangover. You never have a doubt. You never have a fear in your heart because you know that the light of glory has flooded your soul. If you truly know the Lord and have seen his light, that light changes you forever. Let's pray. Father, Lord, this has been good, telling us about the light and having this light in our hearts so that we can go out and shine in the world. There are some dark places that we need to go to. There are some people that we need to meet and let them know that there's hope, that there's light. We don't need to talk to them about the light. We just need to shine and be the light. Help us to do that. And if there's someone online in the parking lot or listening, I pray that you would open your heart to this light. He wants to come in. He wants to bless you. And only you can give him access. Speak to them now, Lord, and help them to find Christ. I pray this in the awesome and mighty name of Jesus, our holy Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. I've kind of preached overtime here, but did you get it? Are you lit up? Amen. So next time you turn on the lights to your Christmas tree, you say to that tree, you can't outshine me. I've got the light of God. Amen. We give God the glory. Remember, as you prepare to leave, we're going to be asking the members to stay for a little while because we do have a few items of business we want to cover. But thank you all so much for coming out today. Thank you for listening online on Zoom. Thank you for those that are listening on Facebook Live. And thank you for those that are in the parking lot. We really praise God, and especially you all for in here. Amen. A lot of folks say, the pandemic going on. I can't go to church. When you go to Walmart, Kmart, Food Mart, every other kind of mart, I might get COVID. Well, you can catch it there too. Amen. Plus, folks in there, they're not wearing a mask. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. We're going to ask Brother Joe to come and close us out in prayer, and then we're going immediately into our church meeting. Please pray for Shelby Cunningham. Mr. Cunningham died, her father-in-law. He was also Sandra Thomas's first cousin. So pray for the Cunningham family. Brother Joe is going to come and close us in prayer.
I heard you, Reverend Givens, the men fellowship this coming Saturday. Okay, you're all invited. The men, let's all stand. Father, we thank you for just giving us this opportunity to come to this house of worship. We pray, asking, O God, that your Holy Spirit that you have given to each and every one of us, your children, will illuminate, O God, our hearts, transform our minds, so as we live here, thanking you for the message, that we may be able to go out and tell someone about the goodness of God and how great thou art. We ask, O God, that you continue to bless this church, continue to bless each member, and Lord, continue to bless your work as it goes forth to the hearts of men and women everywhere, particularly those who have not yet said yes. Thank you for this privilege. We just pray and ask this message in Jesus' name. Amen.
So our visitors and those that cannot stay, you consider yourself dismissed. So we have a few items that we'll be sharing very quickly.